The whole passage is saying to us today, Jesus forever is our priest who continues to defend us and to watch over us and who ministers righteousness to us, so that to say in him you have everything, beloved. This is the best news that could be given. This is what Abraham saw. And you see how important this is for a people who are tempted to drift away, to harden their hearts, to think that the ministry is not very powerful, to come for all the wrong reasons, to be disengaged. That's not the response of a people who know their high priest.
It is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek that we are exploring once again today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Welcome to the program. Join us. We're back in Hebrews as we continue our journey through this amazing book. Chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's Abounding Grace.
Think about this statement. He alone in that land was an upright and sincere cultivator and guardian of all religion. He's a king. He's a priest. He's an amazing figure. What's all this about? Well, the author of Hebrews explains it for you. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth of part of everything. And then he goes on to define that as the spoils of the war. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he's also King of Salem. That is, King of Peace. He's without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Beginning of days nor end of life. But resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. The key to all this is the last statement, that he resembled the Son of God. That's the clue to the whole text. That's the importance of the whole text. God appointed Melchizedek to illustrate and teach and resemble Jesus. He prefigures Jesus. He foreshadows Jesus. He preaches Jesus. He shows us the character of Jesus as the king and the priest, as a king and a priest. He's the ultimate type in the Bible. He's meant to be presented in such a way so that we would study him and that Abraham saw him and his character and would understand Jesus. How did he do this? Notice the four things said about him carefully. He was king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. That's remarkable. He is both a king and a priest. As I said, those offices were not joined together in one figure in Israel. He ruled the people of the Most High God, and he made atonement for sins. Then, number two, he blessed Abraham. Genesis tells us he brought Abraham bread and wine. Hold that thought. I have more to say about that. Third, he is called the King of Righteousness. And then also the king of Salem. The man was a king of who was righteous, and the king of Salem, who the traditional view here meaning that he was the king of, I take this traditional view, of Jerusalem, which means the city of Salem, the city of peace. Number four, he's without father or mother. No genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. Beginning, that is what has stumped people throughout history, as if the author has presented to us some kind of superhuman figure or some kind of eternal figure. But it's not that hard. There were, in Israel, strict rules for lineage in the Levitical priesthood. There was always a record of lines for who became priests, for descent of the priests. They always had a record that was kept. The Jews were meticulous about this, and this was very important to them. And I mean, you know something about this. Most of you know who parents are, and we trace family names, and we know where they're from, and we know where they came from. I mean, I'm amazed here in this church how many families you know in Michigan and Iowa and in Linden. It's kind of overwhelming. You know all the people. You know where they came from. You know your ancestries. You know your backgrounds. But you don't know anything about me. Well, you know my mom. She's here now. Came from Scotland. Right? The Gordons in Scotland. There's a bunch of Gordons buried over there. You wouldn't have the faintest clue of who my great-grandparents were. All this is saying that. He had no lineage of descent entered into the record. He was never traced. Nobody knew where he came from. And nobody knew where he ended up. It was never recorded. And that was completely not done in Israel. No mention is made of his father and his mother. There's nothing in Genesis that we can find. There's no record that we can find. It's total silence on this matter. All that is recorded of him, listen carefully, is he was living. No record of death, no record of beginning. And the author says, see, he was made to resemble somebody. What then did Abraham see in Melchizedek? This figure was made to resemble Jesus and his priesthood, and Abraham saw it. I can't help but to think that when Jesus said the gospel was preached to him, that this was on his mind. He's the greatest type. The author of Hebrews wants you to be stopped fixated with Melchizedek and to be fixated with Jesus. Melchizedek is simply the greatest witness to Jesus. Let me put it together. What did Abraham see in Melchizedek? He saw the King of Peace. He saw Jesus Christ. He's the priest of the Most High God. He's the King of Jerusalem. And from there, that Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, where he resides right now and where he's seated, Hebrews is going to say that, he is our King. Do you know what that means for you? Well, you could take the words of the Heidelberg, which are pretty wonderful. What does Jesus do for us? As our eternal King, he governs us by his word and spirit. And he defends us. Wasn't that the great problem that these Hebrew Christians were struggling with? Are we really being defended in this world? And he preserves us. Listen, if Christianity could have been put out, it already would have been. Here you are, 2022. No kingdom, no nation, no people has ever stamped this out. Why? Because he's the King. He preserves us in the redemption that he obtained for us. And he's our priest, who by the one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us. And who, what has Hebrews been telling us, continually intercedes for us before the Father. That's what he's doing right now. Every day, beloved, and you don't think like this, and I don't think like this, he's defending you. You're here, aren't you? You believing? He cares for you. He watches over your life. He's got a perfect plan he's enacting. And the most marvelous truth is this King gave his life as the eternal high priest to atone for all your sins. And he ever lives to do this for you. Intercede. The author keeps going. Melchizedek blessed Abraham. The author's overwhelmed by this. He says the lesser is blessed by the greater. The whole time, God's promise and oath had to do with blessing Abraham, right? It was all about blessing. And what have you received? You're the answer to Abraham's blessing that was promised. Stars in the heavens, sand on the seashore. Here you are. Here you are gathered. Isaiah 61, you're gathered. The sons and daughters shall come from afar. Abraham, the blessing here, notice that the lesser is blessed by the greater. He is blessing Abraham. That's how the whole Abraham narrative began. God blessing Abraham. And then he gave him what? Bread and wine. The great scholar F.F. Bruce once said, what typologist could resist the opportunity to draw a direct connection to the supper? What does Jesus give us? Bread and wine. In Luke 24, at the resurrection, when he came in the room, remember the first thing he said? The King of Peace said, peace to you, I give to you. The king blessed them. He raised up his hands, right? Aaronic benediction. And he blessed them at the end of Luke 24. He blessed them with peace. And then he rehearsed the formula for the supper. And he broke bread. And when he gave the original supper, remember what he said. Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This is my blood which is shed for you. Every time you partake of the supper, you're partaking of his body and blood by faith. And Hebrews says, he's the King of righteousness. What has he given you? He's your righteousness. The big point today in the book of Hebrews, he's eternal. He has no beginning or end. He has neither beginning of days nor end of life. You see we're so too curious about Melchizedek when he was only meant to resemble Jesus and not being put in the record. That's all Abraham saw. Abraham saw the gospel. And the author wants you to marvel over the fact that he's your king priest forever. Years ago, I preached out of Hebrews. And I preached at everything that Jesus would do for us. And how he's bringing us to glory in heaven. And I had, and this is in a church long far back, 2003. He walked up afterward and he said, what does that do for me today? I was appalled. How much worldliness has come into our minds? What do you mean, what does that do for you today? Do you know what's been done for you? Why does it matter? It means everything. Why would you ever go back to the law? Did you ever go back to Moses? Why would you go back to the Levitical priesthood? Why would you go to something that only foreshadowed the things to come? All those priests died. And the blood of bulls and goats didn't forgive sins. Who could say this today? Why do people look anywhere and everywhere else to find fulfillment and happiness other than Jesus? I could record a million things here today that people turn to besides Jesus. He draws this last brief point here with tithes. He wants you to know over the superior priesthood to the Levitical priesthood. Abraham tithed to him. And the author says, listen, Levitical priests, those descendants of Levi who receive priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers. though these are also descended from Abraham. In verse 8, in the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who received tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor Melchizedek when Melchizedek met him. Here's the point. It's really simple. Tithes were commanded to mortal men, and they died. But what Abraham understood in giving a tithe to Melchizedek was that he was responding in faith in seeing Jesus through the figure of Melchizedek, and that the tithe looked to the better priesthood. See, I think that's important, because if I stood up here today and whipped you over your giving, what would that do? Well, a lot of you would then close your pockets. Who are you giving to? Why are you giving? Isn't there something really beautiful about the New Testament coming along and saying God loves a cheerful giver because we're giving in response, not because Jesus needs it, but because it's a ministry, his ministry to people who need it? There was a lot of abuse of Old Testament priests, weren't there? Read the story of Samuel and Hophni and Phinehas, who abused the people. See, it was commanded in the law. Abraham represented something that was to come of the new covenant people. I was struggling with how to preach this. I was really struggling, because it's heavy stuff. And then Psalm 110 dawned on me. I have sworn you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. But in the heart of that psalm, he says something that I've never taken to heart before. I think that's behind this. Your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of the youth will be yours. Abraham was giving himself in faith, believing the promise to Christ in response to the gospel. A free will offering. I'm yours. You are my king. You've paid for my sins. You're my priest. I am the offering. I believe. I look to who you represent, Melchizedek. The whole passage is saying to us today, Jesus forever is our priest who continues to defend us and to watch over us and who ministers righteousness to us, so that to say in him you have everything, beloved. This is the best news that could be given. Talk about a Mother's Day gift. This is what Abraham saw. And you see how important this is for a people who are tempted to drift away, to harden their hearts, to think that the ministry is not very powerful, to come for all the wrong reasons, to be disengaged. That's not the response of a people who know their high priest. John Newton once said, "How unspeakably wonderful to know that all our concerns are held in the hands of him who bled for us." Let that set in. There's a reason the author keeps saying, don't lose heart in the struggle. And will remind us that Jesus himself never leaves us nor forsakes us, because he has the power of an indestructible life. He can't die. He died, and when he died, he rose. You see far more than what Abraham saw. I close with that. Believe him and trust him. He's a merciful and compassionate high priest who sympathizes with us in our weaknesses and is ready and able to give aid to the children of Abraham, which is exactly what the author says. The world is falling apart before our eyes. There's no hope. Who can dispute that? It always has been. It's just brought fresh to us as of recent. Jesus has spoken everything you need to know for salvation as your prophet. He's your priest in laying down his life to pay for your sins. And he's your king who rules over you, numbering the hairs of your head with a gracious, tender hand and a gracious kingship over you. So trust him. Pray to him. Come boldly to the throne of grace. And don't ever look back to Sodom or the world or anything else inferior. Beloved, you have everything in Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today to us and helping us to understand a complex passage. And yet really in the big picture, not. For this is all that we have enjoyed through Jesus Christ. Thank you for feeding our souls with bread and wine that speak of the wonderful sacrifice made for us. Thank you for a king of righteousness who governs Salem, the city of peace, and who is eternal, and whoever lives to make intercession for us. What confidence we should have and how this should stir up our hearts to response in faith. Thank you for instructing us in the good word of faith and the doctrine which should be carefully followed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. As we conclude our time today, we look forward to tomorrow's program, and Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment to give us a sneak peek. But for now, if you have questions or maybe you would like to know more about Abounding Grace Radio, we have several platforms you can reach out to us on. Abounding Grace Radio is a great place to start. From there, it'll launch you into other platforms like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even take advantage of some of the resource materials that we have available for you. Again, aboundinggraceradio.org. You can also reach out to us by phone. The number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Or simply write to us. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you have a question for Pastor Chris, man, he would love to hear about it. Here's what you do. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone. Record your question and then either email it to us or simply visit our Facebook page and send it through Facebook Messenger. Now, if we use your question on the air, we'll let you know ahead of time so you can tell friends and family. We really do want you growing in grace and in God's Word. And if this is a way that helps, then we want to make ourselves available for that very purpose. So again, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, simply record it on your voice memo app on your smartphone and send it off to us. And then, finally, we're looking for those who have an interest in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio. You see, AG Radio is listener-supported, which means that you, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So, if you are someone who sees the value of this broadcast for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring, and it is all tax-deductible. And it sustains this program right here on this station. Simply go to agradio.org to donate securely or give us a call at 888-504-8805. Well, as promised now, once again, to close out today's broadcast, here's Pastor Chris with a look at tomorrow's program.
The blood of bulls and goats was insufficient to forgive sins. That's what he's going to say in chapter 9. Further, they didn't get all that close to God in that administration. In the tabernacle, you remember, you had the holy place, and then you had this huge 6-inch thick veil that sealed off the most holy place, and then you had a front veil, and then you had a series of things that only the high priest could enter the most holy place once a year, and they say, going backward. Well, did that bring in perfection? The Old Testament saints were involved in a priesthood, to say this very carefully, beloved, that was a shadow of better things to come. It was not fulfilled. It was not complete. It was not perfect. If it could actually have achieved the forgiveness of sins, why in the world are we talking about another priesthood, says the author, that did not belong to Aaron? Notice Melchizedek. All of it was temporary, imperfect, designed to teach us of something better. The whole administration. The entire administration of the law was intended to do what? Teach us the need for Jesus.
Well, that's tomorrow as we take a look at Jesus, who is better than the old covenant, out of Hebrews chapter 7. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.